If Tool put 10,000 to flight, just think how many we can put to flight right with what we've got here.
That's right, we got eight.
Amen. Like it's recorded in the Word, there's more with us than there are with them. Amen. Yep. Praise the Lord. I want to start by leaving a thought with you, or giving you a thought. Something to think about while before we get into what I have today. I'm just going to talk to you today. The only real peace we have is in Him. Now, I know you've heard that probably or something similar to that many times, but I'm going to approach it from a different angle this morning. So think about that. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm reminded that me and God are a majority. And since we're all here in one accord, we're a bigger majority. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we just want to declare our love for You, Lord. We want to declare that we trust You, Lord. That You are our all in all. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us promises that are as sure as anything we see or touch, taste, smell, hear or feel, Lord. And this morning, Lord, we want to bring You honor and glory. We want to lift our voices and magnify and praise You this morning. Give You honor, Lord. Lift You up, Jesus, so that all will be drawn to You, Lord. We thank You for this day. This is a day You have made. We rejoice. We're glad in it. And we give You praise and thanksgiving for what's been given to us, what the future holds, what's going to happen today and throughout this week. And we thank You, Lord, for the very breath we have today. Now, Holy Spirit, have Your way and Your will. Take charge in this place. We give You that place. Bring our Father's will into this house today. And minister as only You can. And use, and I thank You for using this vessel of clay, Lord. This imperfect thing that, because of Jesus, has been changed. And every person here who's been changed. And now we have ears to hear what You say. And we receive it with open hearts. Amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee
again.
You're my friend, and You are my brother, even though You a king. I want You more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. Through You alone may my spirit yield. Desire, and I long to worship Thee. I want You more than gold or silver, only You can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver, and the apple of my eye. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yeah. We had a fellow over there that we were witnessing to, a server. We were witnessing to, you know, pretty heavily, pretty consistently. And he's reached the point now where he's starting to truly consider the things that we're telling him. He's beginning to see the truth of the gospel in the things that we're telling him. Last time we go there, he's gone. The lesson there is, you got to remember when you're witnessing to somebody, you got to keep that person in prayer. Yeah, because you know the devil will not waste an opportunity to move in, steal the seed. The word says he will do that. The word also says in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 42, then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley grain, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? You notice how doubt and disbelief wastes no time in raising its ugly little head? What? We can't do that. God said to Deborah, we can't do that. He said again, give it to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. The lesson here in this is sometimes we tend to discredit our gift. We look at our gift and say sometimes, wow, that's not very much. Wish I could give more. Oh boy, that's not much at all. That sure doesn't make me look very good. It's not a matter of how we look. It's a matter of that what we do, what we give, is according to what the word of the Lord has said to us. If we give with an obedient heart, then that's all we need, because there will be enough and some left over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. He says, I've never seen the righteous of God begging bread. The children of God will never be forsaken. All we have to do is be obedient.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we declare you are worthy. And we do thank you and praise you this morning. We lift our hands and our hearts and our lives to you, Lord, to give you glory and honor, to bring you glory and honor, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that comes to guide us into truth. That's the comforter that reveals, Lord, you and your word to us, Lord. It reminds us of your word in a time when we need to be reminded for ourselves and for the help of others, Lord. This morning, Lord, we rely on you. Holy Spirit, once again, we rely on you to cause God's will to be done in this house and in every life. For this we praise you and thank you and give you glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. He is still on the throne.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I made a statement and told you to consider this when we started this morning. As I was on my way in, it seemed like the theme on the radio from the station that I was listening to out of Colorado Springs was peace. Now, this is only a part of my message or part of what I... And I just want to talk to you this morning. I'm not going to preach to you or at you. But I want you to consider some things. You know, the more I walk with the Lord and the more things that seem to come to perplex me, As I was listening to the song this morning, and there's a song that says this, basically, the only real peace I have is in you. And all of a sudden, I understood and began to sense the fact that that peace is not just peace from and a feeling of security from the world and the things that are going on there, but it's an inner peace, knowing that the place where I am safe, where I am secure, where my rest comes from, where my help comes from, is right there in the knowledge that God is with me. It doesn't make any difference what circumstances surround me or you. It doesn't make any difference what kind of things we face on a daily basis or maybe on a long-term basis. What matters is the fact that we know that the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run in and they are what? Safe. Safe. So it doesn't make any difference what kind of things are going on around you. Inside, there's a peace. And you know what? What's more important than anything is not the things that we seek, not the things that we believe God for, but the fact that we have the presence of God in our lives no matter what. The world did not give that. The world can't take it away. We get so fussed and so focused on things that are really insignificant in the vast scheme of what God has and what God's up to. I'm just going to be flat out honest this morning. In the vast scheme of things, I have been standing in faith, you all know that, for something to happen as far as my finances, as far as getting something done before the enemy tries to attack in another way and take more money that he doesn't have any right to, that really belongs to God, as far as my car is concerned. And this morning, I can tell you that on the way in, as I was meditating on the Lord, and as I was listening to these songs, they ministered to me. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. God has it under control. It doesn't make any difference what the enemy throws at you or I. It doesn't make any difference what kind of situations arise. It doesn't make any difference whether we got a penny or $1 million. God, His presence, is the only important thing in our lives. And it's the only thing that we can count on. I mean count on. He's the only one we can really count on. Now we stand by one another here, but what if we didn't have one another? Where do you go then? He promised us that if we would just keep our focus and our attention, our hearts fixed on Him, our minds, that He would cause peace to continue in us. He'd keep us in perfect peace. We get so caught up, we get so caught up as human beings, Christian human beings, in things like, you know, things like, well, you know, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or what if this doesn't happen? What am I going to do? And we read about, you know, people like Paul and others who went through great hardship, but never once did God ever let them down. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to fail. I'm reminded of Psalm 23, verse 4. It says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, if we could just get the perspective and understand that no matter what we face or no matter what things are going on in our lives that look like catastrophes or things that seem to want to pull us down, weigh us down, steal our victory, that we're only walking in the shadow of death. It's not death. And it's not the final end. Amen? Because He's given us tools and things to use and to guide us. And because we keep our minds on Him, He causes peace to abound in us. Amen? It's amazing how we put so much value on things, wants, wishes. And it's not wrong. And God wants to give us things. He wants to bless us. We know that by scriptures in the Word, Jeremiah 29:11. I just want to read this out of the Amplified. It says, "Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me." When it's all said and done, when the page is tallied, the bottom line is that He's with us. And that's, I mean, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. It takes a long walk and a lot of things to finally bring you to that place where you say, it doesn't matter, Lord. I have You. You are the one that sustains me. You're the one that keeps me. And He's the one, when you're really in the thick of things, the attacks are coming or disillusionment or whatever, He's the one who's right there speaking to you in that still small voice. Amen? Hallelujah. "You are with me, Your rod to protect me and Your staff to guide me. They comfort me." That is a comfort to know that when all is said and done, when it seems like the whole world has turned against you. Now, I'm not saying that about myself, but I'm saying that, you know, there are times when, how many have ever felt that? It just, nothing's going right. The whole world's against me. You wonder even if God's still there, but He's still there. And you know that because there's a peace going on inside you that you can't explain. And it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. You see, it's the one thing that the enemy can't touch in your life. He'll bring circumstances and things to try to get you off track or to try to derail you for a period of time. But the point is, through it all, when you sit back and you just close your eyes and meditate on the Lord, you know He's right there. He's consistent. He's faithful. He never changes. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Amen? No matter what. Even in the times when you screw up so bad that you think, "Dear God, Lord, I don't think I'll ever recover from this. It's over with." Even you, Lord, you think that even He's going to turn against you. And He doesn't. Amen? Wow. Wow. And at that moment you realize, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever, devil, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm going to survive. I'm going to survive. He's given me His armor. He's teaching me how to use His armor for the kingdom. And you know, let me tell you something. When God does perform a miracle in yours and my behalf, do you know it's not only a benefit for you, and yet most of us, now come on now, God knows. He's watching. Most of us are, "Wow, that was pretty cool. God really blessed me." But do you know really, the truth is, He blessed the kingdom of God. Because when He blessed you, He gave you more faith, He gave you more ability, and caused you to see more clearly what He's all about. And it builds a kingdom, unless we're selfish. And we're not selfish in this house. Amen? But we get just for a moment or two, just a little bit focused on ourselves. Wow, God really did that for me. But it's really for the kingdom. If we're not here for ourselves, if we're here for others, then it's for the kingdom, amen? That should remind us, that should cause our hearts to focus on the fact that we really are sons and daughters of God, but more than that, heirs of God. Now what happens when these calamities, or what we consider calamities, you know what? There are no calamities in God. Whoa. I felt the brakes go on right there. There are no calamities in God. even though you don't feel like it right for the moment, you know in your heart of hearts, He's with you, and He's got it under control. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And that word fear just literally means respect, reverence, or piety. Back in Psalm 2, I'm going to give you these references. I may not read all of them. In fact, I probably won't read all of them at all. But I will. Psalm 2, verse 11 says, "Serve the Lord with reverent awe and worship, worshipful fear, or reverence or piety. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling, lest you displease Him." See, one of the problems is we've talked, you know, you've heard me say this a lot of times. We get too caught up worshiping the gift rather than the giver. We've made an idol out of those things that we desire in many cases. And we think, man, if this doesn't happen, what's going to happen? It's all over with. If the funds don't come in, if I don't get something done about this particular situation pretty soon, I mean, it's just an open door for the enemy. Who do you belong to? Who's really in control? What does the Word say about who you have dominion over? In the beginning of the Word in Genesis, it says that they were to have dominion and they were to subdue the earth. Subdue it. You've been given power and authority to subdue these things. Subdue that. What does that mean? You don't just have a magic wand that you can wave, but when you subdue it, part of that subduing is the peace of knowing that God's in control. And it doesn't make any difference what you see, what you hear, what you feel. God's in control. One of the things that causes fear to rise up in us is because, once again, we struggle with God's timing. We struggle with God's timing. We don't understand. We think, oh my goodness, it's been 5 months. I'm overdue 5 months. And yet, I have had policemen pass me, follow me, and not once have they seen. Not once. And of course, I'm sitting there quaking in my boots thinking, oh Lord, cause blind eyes. And you know what? I didn't have to pray for that. I did. But I didn't have to pray for it because God's got me in His hand. I don't know what He's up to, but I know He's up to something. And it's going to come clear. It's going to come clear. Why? Because God can't fail. He can't lie. He can't lie. Amen? Psalm 64:1. Psalm's a good book. Psalm 64:1. "Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Guard and preserve my life from the terror of the enemy." Oh, dear God. He's already made the provision. And it's already in His mind to preserve you. He's already got a standard and a hedge set around about you. You may suffer some calamities. You may suffer some things. But God's there to make it what? All turn to good. Isn't that the promise? Romans 8:28. Make those things that were meant for harm turn to good. Amen? For what? So we can go around and boast? No. Yes. Boast in the Lord. Not and say, hey, look, you know, man, look. Yeah, God did it. God did it. But He would have done it for anybody, not just me. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Praise you, Lord. Matthew 10:26. "So have no fear of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, or kept secret that it will not become known." Now, that's twofold. Remember we talk about the double-edged sword? There's two. That's a double-edged statement there. There's nothing the enemy plans against you that will not be exposed. Listen carefully now. That he will not expose. But also, those things that seem to be hidden for the moment or that we don't think we understand or we can't quite get a hold on, he won't withhold from us. We may not know for the moment, but he will show us. And he will show us, and it will cause good and growth and strength to come into our lives. Amen? The Word says, once again, he'll keep him in perfect peace. He'll keep you and I in perfect peace if what? Our minds, our hearts, minds and hearts, synonymous, tied together, are stayed on him. That's why God says, I see the heart. We look on the outward appearance of situations and things. We look on the outward appearance of other people. But God sees the heart of hearts. I don't know anybody that doesn't make a mistake at least once a day, probably several times a day, at least if your name's Bill Backus. But the point is, my heart is towards God. And He's revealing. He's revealing. He's continuing to reveal His ways, His love, and His steadfastness in my life, no matter what goes on. And I thank Him and praise Him this morning that one of the things He's doing is causing me to be at rest no matter what. No matter what. Even when it doesn't look like there's any way in the natural out of this situation that you may be in, that I may be in. But there is. He's got an answer. And it's coming. It's coming. Amen? We all know 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, no dread, or dread does not exist in love, but full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. In other words, one of the first things that comes into our mind is, God, why am I being punished? Why is this happening? Where have I failed? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? Have I done something wrong? Are you seeing the picture? Let me read it again. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so, he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Now, what does that mean? It means that we still have a place where we doubt God's love. God loves us, but to this point, but when you get into this area, you know, we're just not sure. How many know what I'm talking about? We're just not sure. And yet, that should be the most absolute sure thing in your life, is the fact that God loves you, His love cannot fail, He cannot fail, and He doesn't change His mind. Right? It's a good place to say amen, yes. Praise the Lord. He doesn't change His mind. 1 John 3:18 through 23, and I am going to read this because it's several verses. 3:18 through 23. Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and sincerity. See, if God's commanding us to love like that, and we read 1 Corinthians and we see what His love really is all about, then that means that we need to not only love like that, but we need to understand that His love is exactly like what He says. Amen? He doesn't expect anything of you that is not in His character, but He also says, I'll walk with you, and I'll cause it to come to pass. I'll be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? And not only be, but he is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Verse 19, by this we shall come to know or perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of the truth. Truth, in truth there's no falsehood. Amen? If it's truth, there's no falsehood. There's no lies. There's nothing hidden. No shadows there. It's fully exposed. It's truth. It's unchangeable. It's unreversible. You can't explain it away. It's truth. That's pretty final. And can reassure or quiet. We are of the truth. And can reassure or quiet, conciliate. Some words are too big. And pacify our hearts with His presence. Whenever our hearts in torment, self-accusation, make us feel guilty and condemn us, for we are in God's hands, and He is above and greater than all our conscience or our hearts. And He knows, perceives, and understands everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Obviously, I'm reading from the Amplified again. And beloved, if our consciences or our hearts does not accuse us, if they do not make us feel guilty and condemn us, we have confidence, complete assurance, and boldness before God. In other words, when something goes on that we don't understand, what's one of the first things we do? We run and we say, God, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? Where have I failed you? Well, you know, every morning when you get up, you fail Him at least once a day, if not more, probably more than that. But that doesn't mean that He fails you or that He's changed His mind about you. He knows the heart that's after Him. He knows the heart that desires Him and His presence. See, God's given me an understanding, and I know He's giving you an understanding of the fact that when it says that we seek the gift or the giver and not the gift, that they're just blessings that come along. But the greatest blessing is having the presence of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the anointing of God, and the Word of God in our lives. And can I tell you something? That's worth more than anything else in this world. Where do you think Paul and Silas were when they were in that prison? Or Barnabas, whoever was there at? It's not important. You know what I'm talking about. What do you think was going on in their mind? I mean, at that point, if anybody should have been in despair and should have had a reason to be in despair, they should have. But what were they doing? They were singing songs and hymns and they were praying. So much so that God saw where they were at. Not that He didn't know already. Shook the prison, set them free. And on top of that, the jailer and his family got saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. We have confidence or complete assurance and boldness before God. Verse 22. And we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we watchfully obey His orders, observe His suggestions and injunctions, follow His plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. Even though it may not come at the instant you think. Let's see, May 31st, midnight. Okay, now there's a grace period. Now we're 5 months into it, and it's still not there. And because of our carnal minds that need to be renewed by what? The washing of the water of the Word, by the presence of God, we start panicking. What am I going to do? Lord, I don't understand. And yet all along, like I said, blind eyes out there. They don't see. I'm reminded of a story. See if I can remember this clearly. Of a person who used to smuggle Bibles in behind the Iron Curtain. And they go, and suitcases are full. And every time, every single time they went through, when they were about to be inspected, God caused something to happen or caused blind eyes not to see. And they went through and took the Bibles in. One of the questions they ask investigators, or similar to what they ask investigators or people who want to become investigators to see if they'll make good detectives, is a story about a lady who every day she'd come to the border with a bicycle. And every day, those guards knew, they were convinced, they absolutely were positive she was smuggling something across the border. And so they dismantled the bicycle, take it completely apart, and found nothing, and they let her go across the border. Next day, the same scenario. And then she walked across the border. The next day, same thing. And they were not smart enough, their blind eyes, to understand she was smuggling bicycles across the border. You see what I mean? The carnal mind is an enemy of God. There is a chasm, a schism, whatever you want to call it, a gulf that can't be crossed by the carnal mind or the natural man. The natural man does not receive the things of God. He can't. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And part of that growth in spiritual discernment is discerning the presence of God is always there, no matter what the circumstance. Even if you think you're in the deepest, darkest prison, back in the very back corner where no one in the world knows where you're at, sometimes we think including God. And that's not true. Amen? Praise the Lord. Last verse. We need to habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. And this is His order, His command, His injunction, that we should believe in, put our faith in, and trust in, and adhere to, and rely on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, that we should love one another just as He commanded us. Numbers 23:19, we know it says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. What He said He will do. Did He make promises to you? Then that's money in the bank, folks. You can't change it. You can't stop it unless you just flat dig up your seat and walk away. Now, I don't know about... Well, yes, I do know about all of you, and I won't say that. I would sometimes say, and at this point, you know, I don't know about all of you, but I know where I stand, and I trust Him. I trust Him. And see, that's part of the work that needs to be done in us to come to the place where we understand that peace and have that peace that nothing else matters except that I have Him. Like the Scripture says, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That doesn't mean that He was dead, but that full crucifixion, the death and the burial and what? The resurrection, the power, the authority, and the new life that came from that resurrection. The new life He had and the new life you and I received as a gift from that resurrection. Amen? New life. Spiritual life. We were dead in our sin. We had no hope. We were the accused. And now, the accusation's been completely obliterated because of the blood of Jesus and because of the decision we made to serve and follow Him. It's been obliterated. There's nothing left. You can't even find the fragments of the old life. Whoa, that's a little tough to swallow for some folks. What kind of a God would God be? Or what kind of a parent would you be if you say, you know, I love you, that's never going to change, and then over one little incident, you up and change your mind? I believe I read somewhere where a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I also remember reading that if God ever didn't tell the truth or didn't hold up to His word, He said He'd have to destroy Himself. That's pretty powerful words. As they say in cliche, you can take that to the bank. And I'm not talking about the bank of first what's it, sir, whatever. I'm talking about the bank of eternity. Matthew 17:20 and in Mark 11:24. Well, it goes along with Mark 11:24. Matthew 17:20 says, He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith, that is living like a grain of mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. You can underline that. In fact, you should underline that. Nothing will be impossible to you. And then in Mark 11:24, we all know that scripture. It says, if we have faith and don't doubt and say to the mountain, what mountain? Are we talking about a physical mountain? Well, that's possible too. But what about the mountains that seem to always plague you and I in our lives? Or what we perceive as mountains? Say, be removed and cast into the sea. Have faith, don't doubt. Have faith, don't doubt. We're the ones who have time-sensitive issues. God doesn't have time-sensitive issues. But we know that He's never late and He's never early. He's always right on time at the right moment. And He's not going to see harm come to you. And if He does, if harm does come, He makes it right. Amen? Which means He never left you. The enemy just got a little bit bigger for his, you know, too big for his britches. And he's got to face God. Amen? He's got to face God. Why? Because we're His. Daddy's standing there. Daddy's standing there. How many have ever seen or heard about or talked about a scenario or listened to a scenario where a little guy's out there and there's some big bully going around bugging him and everything, and finally Daddy steps on the scene and little kid's up and much is standing out there saying, bring it on, because Daddy's right there. You know, and that bully thinks twice about what he's doing. It's the same way with God and our circumstances. God's right there. The enemy, that big bully, can come, whatever he wants to do, whatever circumstances happen, whether they're because of your foolishness or because just of this flat-out attack of the enemy, God's there. He's there to back you up. He's there to back up His Word. And His Word can't fail, because He can't fail. Because He values His Word more than His very name. Glory to God. Matthew 19:26 and Mark 10:27. Both scriptures are synonymous. They're basically the same words. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but all things are possible with God. Glory. It may be an impossible situation in your eyes, and the way you're looking at it, the way you feel. You think, God, I don't know if we're going to recover from this one. And He's just there with a smile on His face. Then I'm reminded of that poem or that little plaque that says, when we thought he had just abandoned us because we only saw one set of footprints, those were the times that I carried you. He knows what you have need of before you ask, and He does not leave you nor forsake you. And He will never, ever, listen to me now, He will never, ever leave you holding the bag. Do you believe that? Mark 10:27 says the same thing. All things are possible if you believe. Hebrews 6:18, that's the scripture that talks about the fact that God can't lie. Hebrews 6:18. From the Amplified it says, this was so that by two unchangeable things, His promise and His oath. Did you hear that? Two unchangeable things, His promise and His oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us. We who have fled to Him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and to hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Wow. Wow. And then finally, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, without that confidence, without that trust in His oath, His promise, it's impossible to please Him and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. The only peace we have is in Him. Amen? It's the only peace we have. But you know, that's the only peace that matters. As we look back in Daniel chapter 3 at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they faced that fire and they were in that fire, nothing else mattered to them but God. As the Scripture says, they loved not their lives even to death. And God preserved them. And then at the same time, they said, even if God doesn't come, we're not going to bend and we're not going to bow. I want to be in that place. How about you? I want to be in that place. Whew. Man, I got chills running up and down my back, and it's not because of the air conditioner. Knowing that Almighty God cares that precisely, that intricately, you choose the word, for you and I. This is the most amazing thing I've ever encountered in my life. I mean, it just gets me so wound up, I want to run around the room and jump and dance. You know what I mean? God. Peace. No matter what. Part of that, or one of the important keys is, though, in all this, that we not let our focus be on anything but Him and His promises. I don't care if it gets to be the blackest, darkest day of your life in your thoughts and perception. In your mind. It's not. Because the greater one dwells, lives, and remains constantly in you and in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Him glory this morning. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. I just want to remind you that no matter what it is, this too will pass. Heaven and earth will fall away, will cease to exist, but His word will stand forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want with everything within me, if you're not at that place already, then when you leave here today, you'll be at that place where you just rest. Have peace. Rest in peace. And I don't mean like in the grave. I mean rest in the peace of knowing that God is right there with you. And even if everything else falls away, and like Job, you lose everything, like Nebuchadnezzar, you lose everything, but you hold on to the fact that God's with you. And you know what? That's the only thing that's going to sustain you. And that's the only thing that brings real peace, real joy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so awesome. You are so awesome. I praise you and thank you, Lord, for your presence in all of our lives, for your wisdom, your insight, for sending the Holy Spirit to reveal to us truth and reveal to us on a daily basis who you really are, the awesomeness of who you are. And that you teach us that we can rely in and trust you when we can't trust anybody, including ourselves. But we can trust you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for putting value in us. May we from this day forward strive more than ever in our lives to never fail you or disappoint you. And we thank you, Lord, that that is what will come to pass because we've asked in faith, Lord, and what is happening right now in our lives for your honor and glory. You're maturing us, Lord. You're growing us. Changing us from one glory to another, causing us to come up higher, to come more in your image and likeness. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, let these words that have been spoken under your authority, under your will and anointing, not my words, Lord, your words, I thank you now, and I thank you that they're sealed in all of our hearts, Lord. Sealed, and that we're sealed. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You promised Him. You promised that He'd come, and He came. And so those words are sealed because we've already received what You promised, Lord. Now, as we walk through this week and the rest of our lives, Lord, let us just relax and be at peace in the knowledge that you're with us and you're the only thing of value. Everything else will disintegrate and go, but your presence and the ability for us to be in your presence from now through eternity, that's what's important. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord.